Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Margaret McCowan, Clinical Professor of Education and Senior Scientist at the Learning, Research, and Development Center at the University of Pittsburgh. She does research involving reading, comprehension, instruction. Welcome, Dr. McCowan.
Thank you very much.
We're glad to have you. First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in reading, comprehension, instruction.
That goes back quite a while. I've been working in reading comprehension and vocabulary, kind of my two areas, with Isabel Beck. She and I have been research partners for more years than either of us will admit at this point. And we started, well, we've both been elementary school teachers and particularly focused on reading, and we were always interested in those kids who just weren't getting enough out of what they were reading. And we've looked into the materials, and over the years we've done lots of studies with in both individual students and classrooms to see what students typically get from what they read. And we had found out a long time ago that too often they don't get very much. Mm-hmm. And early on, our efforts were directed at, well, how do we help students to kind of take it easy almost, because it seemed like students too often did kind of a hit and run. They'd sort of zoom their eyes down a page, and it was like, okay, I'm done, mm-hmm. and not really get that they were supposed to kind of stop and think about it as they went along and so forth. So from that, we eventually developed this an approach called questioning the author for teachers to lead. It's a teacher-led approach for classrooms where open-ended questions are asked as a text is read together aloud, and the teacher will stop at planned points and just say something like, so what's going on? Mm-hmm. Or, what do you see happening here? Mm-hmm. Or what's the author trying to say? And get kids to respond and then discuss and move from their responses to get them to elaborate and to connect to one another and so forth. And we saw that approach working pretty well in some studies we did.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, now this is what led to the current study. Meanwhile, there is a lot of focus on using comprehension strategies mm-hmm. in reading instruction. And that seems to be a very dominant paradigm right now over the last, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years even.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in that approach, specific strategies are taught, like, here's what you do if you summarize a text. Sometimes you have to make predictions. Here's what you do when you make a prediction. And taking kids through text to do those specific strategies. And there's been a lot of research on strategies, and strategy instruction usually comes out pretty well. But there's never been any comparison of that kind of approach to the kind that we do, which is what we've called a content approach, mm-hmm. which is there are other approaches similar to it that emphasize discussion, just open discussion of a text that's being read. And so we launched this study to compare those two approaches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, talk to me a little bit more. Like you've said that strategy instruction has been very popular for quite a while, and I often am working with early elementary classrooms, and I think a lot of teachers sort of boil strategy instruction down to saying to a child, "What do you do when you can't figure out a word?" It's almost more associated with decoding. So can you elaborate, your article does a fabulous job of providing background and breadth and depth of both of these, and so I highly recommend people go check out the full article. But can you expand for us as briefly as possible? I know it's hard to put all this into a capsule, but what's sort of the breadth and depth of strategy instruction beyond saying to a child, how do you figure out this word?
Well, when I talk about strategies, I usually, at this point, I'm talking about reading comprehension strategies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what you were mentioning was a decoding strategy, and that's, mm-hmm. that is different, and I think of that as separate, and there are important reasons to do those kinds of things, to help kids learn to unlock pronunciations of words and word identification. So in comprehension, strategies are to help a reader kind of keep track of what they're reading, monitor their comprehension, kind of from the idea that when a good reader reads, that reader knows when comprehension is going along pretty well, and if they notice it breaking down, they'll go, and do something about it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it came from. You know, can we teach students to do those kinds of things that we think good readers do, mature readers, experienced readers do?
Yeah.
So can we teach them that it's a good thing to do a summary once in a while of what you've read, mm-hmm. or to stop and ask yourself, is there anything that didn't make sense here? Is there something I'm missing? And maybe go back and figure something out.
Yeah, so that's real helpful to distinguish between decoding metacognition, thinking
right.
about how you figure out a word, and comprehension strategies. Now that you've done this research and you've compared strategy instruction and content instruction in helping children with their reading comprehension and understanding reading comprehension instruction, what might you tell a group of teachers based on this research?
Okay, well, I guess I would tell them that that we found that some advantages to the content instruction, mm-hmm. and that going through a text and asking kids open questions seems to encourage them to put text ideas in their own words and to respond kind of at length, not with real like brief one or two word or one line answers, that we get longer student responses, and students seem more likely to make connections as they're talking about the text in the content instruction. And those are important things that are part of the comprehension process.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of you know, exactly what a teacher might say or do in content instruction that she wouldn't say or do in strategy instruction?
Yeah, I think in content instruction, it runs on open questions that actually sound pretty bland, but it's because we don't want to put a lot of words into the student's head. We just kind of want to say, well, what was that piece of text all about? So stopping at certain points where the teacher has identified either something important has happened, or maybe ideas are getting kind of dense and we better stop and talk about it, and just say either, well, what was going on, or what's the author telling us now, and encourage kids to just talk about what they saw in the text and what they're thinking. And then the important part is to listen carefully to the kids. That's one thing that we found is really important for teachers, to listen, because kids come out and put that in their own words, which is great, but sometimes it takes a little longer to understand, well, did they get it, or what are they really saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to listen to what the kids say and then follow that up by saying, well, tell me more about that, or you seem to notice such and such was going on. What did you mean by that, or why did you think that was important? To get the kids to kind of keep going and to kind of give them a little push toward what might be important. If the student has said two or three things, you might jump on one of them and say, why did you say that? And kind of, you know, guide them toward what's important.
Whereas strategy instruction would be much more specific regarding, can you summarize this? Or
right, it's much more specific. And the way we see it is in the study that we did seems to back us up, that in doing strategy instruction, kids aren't going directly for the meaning of the text. They're kind of going through, okay, how do I do a summary? Or how do I word this question? Or how do I predict? They have to go through a kind of routine, and that then takes them to the text. And we think that sometimes there's more focus, there could be, for many kids, more focus on what that routine is than what the content of the text is itself.
I wonder sorry to interrupt you. I'm wondering if in some ways parents almost do more of content-type questions instead of strategy instruction. What kind of recommendations would you give to parents?
Well, that's really interesting, because actually people have said that to me before, and I think that's true, that often parents, when they're reading with their children, just get a conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good way for parents to think about it, is when you're reading with your kids, and incidentally, I'd say read with your kids from the time they're, you know, as young as can be, all the way up through, you know, junior high. Mm. Still keep reading aloud or reading with them is really great. Mm. And just have a conversation. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Or, ooh, did you notice what this guy's doing now? Or, how do you think this character's going to react, seeing as what we know about him? You know, just kind of conversational. It can be either comments or questions that help the child see what's going on and see what a really good reader is picking out from a text that's important.
Well, what fun as a parent to just engage your child in real conversations about what you're reading as well. Now, what would you recommend to principals and policymakers, people who are making curriculum decisions?
Yeah, that's tough. I would recommend thinking about strategies as maybe almost more as vocabulary terms that are good for students to know, so that instead of saying, okay, here's how you do a summary, we're going to learn how to do it, and then when you read, I'll stop you and ask you to do a summary, have that discussion approach where you're saying to kids, okay, what's going on now? And then when the student gives a good answer, say, oh, that was a nice summary. Mm-hmm. And then maybe after the text has been read, say, remember when I said to, you know, Joe that he did a good summary? Well, here's what a summary is. Mm-hmm. And then teach them what a summary is more formally. But maybe doing it that way, it won't interrupt the reading. It'll be less likely to kind of get in the way of reading, where kids are focusing on what do I have to do a summary. Rather, they'll focus on the content, and then afterwards you can give them the formalization of what a summary is. Mm.
There's just so much fascinating information you have here. Where do you see yourself going with this next? What research do you see needs to be done in this field?
Quite a bit. It seems like, you know, we've been at this for a long time, and there's still lots. Mm. One of them is a farther transfer, and what I mean is, we're teaching these kids any approach to comprehension instruction ultimately because we want them to read like that on their own. We want them to be able to adopt, things from that approach that they can use on their own, and when they're reading independently, either for fun or for school assignments, that they'll be able to improve their own comprehension process. And we don't know that kids are doing that, and it's hard to test, but I think we have to figure out how to do that so that kids would get, you know, instruction in the classroom, and then we would have them come in much later after they've had the instruction, have them read something on their own, and then see if that, and then test if that's been affected by what they've been taught in the classroom.
Well, we'll look forward to following your work over the next several years then.
Well, I hope to be at it for several more years at least.
Dr. Margaret McCowan from the University of Pittsburgh, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It was fun.
You can find Dr. McCowan's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 44, Issue 3, and Perspectives, Volume 35, Issue 2, a journal of the International Dyslexia Association. This podcast is now available from iTunes, as well as our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to these articles and additional work done by Dr. McCowan. Join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. Peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests. Post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.